Welcome. You are listening to Park Avenue Podcasts, and this is Rabbi Elliot Cosgrove. While it's always better to hear it live, this is a place to be to catch the music, sermons, and select programs of Park Avenue Synagogue. If you like what you are hearing or want to learn more about the community, please check out our website at www.pasyn.org. Enjoy our latest installment.
Welcome, everyone, to Park Avenue Synagogue's Parsha Podcast. This is where I, Rabbi Witkowski, will be interviewing members of the Park Avenue Synagogue staff, clergy, community to talk about the weekly Torah portion. We are beginning this week as we begin with the second Parsha in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, or Vayikra, is, for some of us, not the most riveting texts in our Torah. It is essentially a rundown of the laws of the sacrificial system, the ritual cleanliness system, dietary restrictions, and other personal laws. As a rabbinical student, I remember that I would often get a call from pulpit rabbis asking if I wanted to fill in for a Shabbat during the book of Leviticus, and it certainly is one of the least favorite amongst the B'nai Mitzvah kid crowd. Our guest today is Rabbi Dr. Elliot Cosgrove. Perhaps you've heard of him. Rabbi, it's so nice to have you with us. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to be in conversation with you, virtually speaking. It's as Frank Sinatra said, it's better in person, but I'll take what I can get.
Agreed. Rabbi, how do you feel about giving sermons during the book of Leviticus? Is this a hard one for you, or do you like it?
Look, practically speaking, I thank God for Pesach every year, because there's not that much to say about all the different sacrifices necessarily, and I'm going to circle back to that. So I'm convinced that the fortuitous placement of Passover, the Shabbatot leading up to Passover, the time after Purim, I'm sure if someone looked at an anthology of different sermons, I figure out a way to do a workaround these parshiot as best I can. That said, I become a big Reconstructionist Jew during Leviticus, in the sense that I believe that these parshiot spell out the language of ancient Israel to give ritual expression to the most fundamental aspects of our being, a thanksgiving offering, a sin offering, the difference between sins that are done intentionally and inadvertently, the communal offerings, the individual. These are the basic language of the Torah when it comes to this. And so these things are constant, part of the human experience from ancient times till today. And we find the language in our own place. I do want to just point out also that given where we are right now, there's an eerie resonance, you know, talking about purity and impurity and the transmission of one thing to the next to the next. It's not so ancient right now.
That is for sure true. I've found these passages to be resonant as we talk about distancing from the unclean or from things we're concerned about. So Rabbi, if I understand you right, you're saying that for you, what you take away from the readings about all of these sacrifices is the values that are coded into what the sacrifices seem to be. Am I saying that right?
Exactly. The human need to give thanks, the human need to atone, the human need to give expression to these most basic elements of our being. So, but I do want to point out, I mean, you were the one, Rabbi, who turned me on to some readings and ritual studies as well. I mean, I don't want to be dismissive to the very fact that you know, that communities gather by way of ritual. Obviously, we're not sacrificing any animal, but I think that's, you turned me on to that conversation.
Well, so let me ask you about that, because, you know, not to slight the Reconstructionist Jews, but, you know, Maimonides 1,000 years earlier had already sort of said that the sacrifices are not necessary for God. They're necessary for us. And that God doesn't care if we, you know, kill animals and doesn't really like the smell and all of that. It's about what the human beings needed to do. And so my question, I guess, would be for you then, Rabbi, why do we not just write a book that says it's good to give thanks? I know that is in fact a quote from the Torah, but you know, you should give thanks, you should sacrifice, you should be part of a team, you should, right? Why even use the language of these sacrifices or these rituals in the first place?
Well, if it's the question, if I understand your question, why the language of ritual, you don't have to go further than Passover itself. Okay, so that you're not talking about, you know, a goat here, or though you actually are talking about a Korban Pesach. I mean, lest we forget, the Paschal offering is an offering that we have a shank bone on our Seder plate as a remembrance of it. But broader than that, the place of ritual, tactile expressions of who we are as individuals, as family structures, as community, those are part and parcel to the most observed ritual of American Jewish life. Now, that's tablecloths, that's song, that's narrative, that is, you know, the flicking of the towel when you're washing hands. I grew up in Los Angeles, and we would often have sedarim with Persian families who would hit each other with celery sticks during Dayenu, right? Different communities, different families have different traditions around Passover. So these are all rituals, from candles to matzah to all of it. It's a sensory experience.
That's an interesting point that you bring up, that in many ways, even though the language has changed, as it were, we no longer sacrifice, but the sensory, the tactile nature of the ritual is still present, even though we aren't sacrificing an animal, but that we have these ritual objects, and Pesach is an example par excellence of all of our ritual objects. So for you, Rabbi, are there any ritual objects that or sensory aspects of our religion that you have found to be the most meaningful to you?
Yeah, look, I think to myself, you know, a Haggadah that I own with that's been passed to me, where I know what pages the matzah crumbs are in and the spills in it when I was a child. These are deeply important ritual objects to me. Candlesticks that have been passed down from generation to generation. The songs. There's a moment in our Seder. You know, Cosgroves, other than my little brother, aren't really known for their singing. But there's one moment in the Seder that my mom sings this wonderful little promise, how conscious is its power. I mean, I could sing it for you, but we won't get any listeners next week if I do. But that, you know, so I'm not just physical objects, Ethan, but also, you know, the songs are part of the ritual. The smells are part of the ritual. The foods are part of the ritual. These are all, I think frankly, that's what's going to make this coming Passover such a challenge. I think the challenge of being separated from not just people, but those inside jokes and stories and traditions that we may cringe at some of them, but they are what make us who we are.
You know, as I listen to you, Rabbi, it sounds like, you know, one of the things you're talking about is that these symbols, these rituals, and these sensory acts serve to connect us. in a way that maybe just statements of philosophy or morality of being a good person or giving thanks can't. And I'm hearing you talk, they connect you to the past and past generations. They connect you to people around you. And that's something that I think is something we're all in need of now as we're talking about a Pesach amidst social distancing. And, you know, for some of us, we might be distanced from the very things that usually connect us, the gathering spaces, the dining room tables, the synagogues, etc. But for many of us, you know, maybe we have in our homes some items that do feel like we can be connected. And so even if we're not all together, if I have those candlesticks out, if I have those Seder plates or use that Haggadah, I'm actually not alone. I'm actually connected. And Rabbi, that is a beautiful message, both as we read the passages of Leviticus, which might seem dry, but these rituals have connected our people for generations. And now maybe even just reading about them and being a little bit bored by them can connect us as well. And as we enter into this Passover, to think about what rituals we want to try to continue, or how we can feel connected, you know, if it's a song over Zoom or a recording of that song. Rabbi, I'm hearing you say you're willing to make recordings for anyone who would like to hear your Passover songs, and we'll put that album out next fall. But so thank you, Rabbi. We're going to wrap up. Tune in every week for another installment of Park Avenue Synagogue's Parsha Podcast. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Park Avenue Podcasts, a place to be to catch the music, sermons, and select programs of Park Avenue Synagogue. If you like what you are hearing or want to learn more about the community, please check out our website at www.pasyn.org. See you in shul. Hallelujah.